Hulk Hogan is here! Hulk Hogan's here! Hulk Hogan is in the building!
You're damn right he is!
Go get him, Hulkster!
Yeah, but whose side is he on?
Go, what are you talking about?
Whose side is he on?
What are you talking about?
Yes, sir!
Get him, Hogan! Go get him, baby!
Come on and get some of this now!
Who's bad now, boys?
Hulk Hogan arrived. Hulk.
What is he doing?
Oh, my God!
Is he the third man?
He's the third man!
What the hell is going on here?
Hulk Hogan has betrayed WCW! He is the third man!
Look at
this picture!
Oh, my God!
What the hell is going on?
Oh, my God!
Are you kidding me?
Probably the lowest shot ever given to professional wrestling. That man did right there, Hulk Hogan.
Let's get everybody out of the dressing room right now and kick his rear end.
Unbelievable, brother.
You just sold your soul to the devil. These years? Huh? What have I been saying all these years?
Oh my God.
A career down the drain, kid. I hope you love it.
Can you see
just sold your soul to the devil.
See those little Hulksters with the tears rolling down their face right now?
We are not going to even acknowledge that three count.
Now what happens to us? What happens now to WCW?
There was no three count. I never thought I would say that he's yellow, but he may be wearing red, but he's wearing red and yellow.
What do we do now?
I'll tell you what.
Oh.
This is a unbelievable situation right here at Bash at the Beach. Hulkamania, the third guy with the Outsiders, betrayed WCW.
Can't talk.
Excuse me. What in the world are you thinking?
Mean Gene, the first thing you need to do is to tell these people to shut up if you want to hear what I gotta say.
I have been with you for so many years. For you to join up with the likes of these two men, have me sick to my stomach. And I think that these people here and a lot of other people around the world have had just about enough of this man, and you want to put yourself in this group? You've got to be kidding me.
Well, the first thing you got to realize, brother, is this right here is the future of wrestling. You can call this the New World Order of Wrestling, brother. These two men right here came from a great big organization up north, and everybody was wondering who the third man was. Well, who knows more about that organization than me, brother?
I've been there, I've done that. You have made the wrong decision, in my opinion.
Well, let me tell you something. I made that organization a monster. I made people rich up there. I made the people that ran that organization rich up there, brother. And when it all came to pass, the name Hulk Hogan, the man Hulk Hogan, got bigger than the whole organization, brother. And then billionaire Ted, amigo, he wanted to talk turkey with Hulk Hogan. Well, billionaire Ted promised me movies, brother. Billionaire Ted promised me millions of dollars. And billionaire Ted promised me world caliber matches. And as far as billionaire Ted goes, Eric Bischoff, and the whole WCW goes, I'm bored, brother. That's why these two guys here, the so-called outsiders, these are the men I want as my friends. They're the new blood of professional wrestling, brother. And not only are we gonna take over the whole wrestling business with Hulk Hogan and the new blood, the monsters with me, we will destroy everything in our path, Mean Gene.
Look at all of this crap in this ring. This is what's in the future for you if you want to hang around the likes of this man Hall and this man Nash.
As far as I'm concerned, all this crap in the ring represents these fans out here. For 2 years, brother, for 2 years, I held my head high. I did everything for the charities. I did everything for the kids. And the reception I got when I came out here, you fans can stick it, brother. Because if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan, you people wouldn't be here. If it wasn't for Hulk Hogan, Eric Bischoff would be still selling meat from a truck in Minneapolis. And if it wasn't for Hulk Hogan, all these Johnny-come-latelys that you see out here, wrestling wouldn't be here. I was selling out the world, brother, while they were bumming gas to put in their car to get to high school. So the way it is now, brother, with Hulk Hogan and the New World Organization of Wrestling, brother, me and the new blood by my side, what you gonna do when the New World Organization runs wild on you? What you gonna do? What are you gonna do?
Don't touch me, I'm gonna flee the lawyers.
Hey, this is Colt Cabana, and you're listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil J and that pain in the ass Choppy. What kind of name is Choppy? Ugh.
Your show, your entertainment, and your network. This is Rant and Angry.
What this network wants, this network gets. I promise you that.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is the main event of the evening.
Broadcasting live from Shaolin, Staten Island.
Freak Show Central.
Where's that?
New York City.
The recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting. It's the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast on Rant EM Radio. Proud member of the Shining Wizards Network and Dark Satellite Media.
Song. I can't play the whole thing because you know, we'll get shut off of YouTube. I, you know what? It pisses me off. Hold on a second. Am I like
that's
you?
Yeah, yeah.
I think it might be just my cans that are like jacked up.
Yeah.
Episode 462 with a Turnbuckle Throwbacks, I believe this is.
I always think that is, you know, you can always tell the generation gap because to me, Van Halen, Van Hagar is
yeah.
I just think far better, just music wise. Obviously, Diamond Dave is the best front man, but music wise, song wise, it's Van Hagar all day.
It's my favorite Van Halen version of Van Halen because, like you said, Diamond Dave is a front man.
Yeah,
that's it, and he's one dimensional. No disrespect.
Yeah,
he could sing.
He could sing.
He could sing. He could dance. He can move a crowd. But Sammy, Sammy played guitar. Sammy wrote. Sammy was in a very popular band and in solo prior to this.
Yeah.
Like, he had the chops and he had the experience behind him. And they were more soulful.
Yeah.
I think Eddie was inspired by Sammy.
I just think that, yeah, just as if you line them up side by side, obviously, the stuff with David Lee Roth, you know, Dive It Down and Women and Children First, like, yo, it's trailblazing. I'm not denying that.
Yeah, man,
but
amazing.
I'm just saying, just if you line up the songs side by side, I don't know, just it's just more polished, more, you know, like soulful, I think is a great way to say it. I always love Van Hagar stuff.
We are live on The Rant. No one knows, though, because no one's listening. It's lunchtime here in the Northeast.
Yep.
And we'll be live to tape for everybody else. And
lunchtime.
Yeah. Well, what's your favorite David Lee Roth Van Halen song? Do you have one?
Yeah. I always loved Ice Cream Man, Beautiful Girls.
Uh-huh.
Even what's the dance? Not Dancing in the Streets.
Running with the Devil.
Dance the Night Away. That comes on. I love the whole thing about it. But just to me, you give me Sammy Hagar songs, Cabo Wabo's Top of the World.
Yeah.
Can't Stop Loving You. God, there's so many songs.
My favorite David era song, my favorite Lee Roth song with Van Halen is Mean Streets.
Oh, yeah.
Dan-an-dan-dan-dan-dan. That's a good song. My favorite Sammy song is Don't Tell Me What Love Can Do. That's my, that song particularly hits home with me in so many ways. But that opening riff, that dun-dun-dun-dun-dun, and then Alex, as drummers, we can appreciate that it's okay, brr-bap. He comes in with that boom-bap. I was like, man, that's just solid.
It's just, yeah. And like I said, I agree with you. I think they got reinvigorated big time, you know, from a professional standpoint. I just never liked what they did with, you know, the handling of Michael Anthony. I was never a big fan of that. I think he's such a vital part of the sound.
Didn't they say he was like a studio musician to them or something like that? It wasn't the article.
He wasn't even. He was a touring musician. Supposedly, you know, when the album came out, Eddie was saying, he goes, well, it's not like he played on the records anyway. Like, because apparently he would always just, I think Eddie would just record the parts himself.
Bass parts.
Yeah.
Wow.
Which is, you know, which was kind of a revelation. We know, didn't know that, but it's is the key, I think, to that live sound.
Yeah. You know, I just wish that they would, I mean, Sammy's 70 years old. He's still playing.
Yeah.
He's got Chicken Foot, which I love. He's got that Inner Circle band.
The Circle,
I'm sorry. I'm in a wrestling mode. But he surrounds himself still with Michael Anthony.
Yep.
But he's got Satriani at one point. Yeah. He's got who else do you have on?
Jason Bonham.
Jason Bonham on drums. You know what I just saw today? Speaking of Jason Bonham, I know we're off the rails. Yeah. I don't care. I saw the performance, the full performance this morning of Heart doing Stairway to Heaven
with
Obama
Kennedy Center.
At the Kennedy Center. But I didn't know Jason was on drums for that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Dude, and you, the best is they kept panning on the camera of Paige Plant and John Paul Jones, and fucking all you see is like tears in Robert Plant's eyes. I was like, wow, man. I've seen drips and drabs of it. I didn't see the whole performance.
Well, and really,
oh my god, no. But like to me, seeing Jason on drums though is like this is that. This is where I hate Zeppelin because they ruined it. They could have, we don't want to tour, and it was really just Plant.
Yeah.
Because Paige actually came out of his shell. I'm like, yeah, I'll go.
Yeah.
And then when the concert promoter's like, well, you know, you can make really like, literally $250 million, $250 million on this tour. Like, nah, we're not gonna do it.
Yeah.
So anyway, because we were too young for Zeppelin. You know, we were like, I just, you know, by the time I got old enough to buy records, Plant was already in the Honey Drippers.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, what are you going to do? Music is a very vital part of Turnbuckle Throwbacks.
Yeah, without a doubt.
Like, vital. You know, and when we got Jay, not to say Choppy's not a fan of music. Choppy's a, He's Choppy's a very 90s kid, though. He's very, very into his 90s music, which is, you know, you guys are the same age.
Yeah.
But when I got Jay, I got another layer of the onion because Jay's a musician, and we go back, yeah, back, and we pull it back. But it's a very, very important part.
Listening to old Robert Johnson stuff from the early 30s. I've been showing the kids. They don't like it, but
yeah, Robert Johnson, you know, just that era of blues is ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, Muddy Waters and all those guys. Howling Wolf, yeah. And who's the guy who did who's the guy who always performed with the Stones?
Muddy Waters.
Not Muddy Waters, the other guy.
Buddy Guy,
that's it. Yep. I got a Buddy Guy CD. If I pull out of storage, I'm going to make you a copy. I'll rip it for you. It's a live. I got it in a vintage record store in New Hampshire.
There you go.
Right? And I was like, why is nobody buying this for like $6?
You can always find the good stuff there.
Yeah. So there's a segue to this. We got a video this morning from Matt Squires,
yeah.
And I literally just stopped crying about a half hour ago because I'll break down the fourth wall. It's been rough the last couple of months. We got Choppy back. We lost him again. Jay's got a whole new life now,
yeah.
And it's like, and I'm just sitting here like, what do I do? And it sucks being a grown-up, but this is what it is. And it's getting harder and harder for me to get excited about this, you know? And getting that video this morning validates everything I've done.
Yeah.
You know, watching my son grow up in that video.
Yeah, that was the coolest part. I mean, shout out to Squires for that. That was a pretty cool thing, especially like just seeing through like the different memories of what have you guys, like, you know, and even like the guys that you met and like Taz. Like I didn't know you met Taz.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Taz, you know,
before I even did the podcast.
Yeah, and
that was a great story. I never told you that story.
When I seen the picture with Taz, I laughed. I was like, oh shit, I didn't know you met Taz.
So right before he signed, as he was signing with WWE, I was living in Brooke. First ex, her mom had a balloon business. She made centerpieces for parties and arches and like she did like the Emmys. She's done a whole bunch of shit. So of course, because her brother didn't live with us anymore, we were stuck helping her with these fucking balloon jobs.
Yeah.
So I would come from work. I'd go with her on the weekends, whatever. So I'm coming from work and I went home and there was an arcade in Sheepshead Bay. I think it was called Fun Time or Fun City or something like that. She's like, I'm doing a balloon job for an autograph. So of course. What she's doing? I'm like, what do you mean? She goes, well, the colors are orange and black. I'm like, well, it's not Halloween. She's like, no. And I was like, she goes, yeah. I said, who is it? I don't know, some guy named Taz. I'm like, what? Are you fucking kidding me?
Hell yeah.
So he signed my ECW magazine because he was on the first cover, I believe.
Yeah.
So I have that autograph from Taz. And of course, I didn't want to be like a whole total mark. I just said thank you, and I love you. I love all your stuff. I've seen you, you know, since you started in ECW. My ex runs down the hall. She's like, tell him you guys were in the same high school. I'm like, yeah. Oh. He goes, you went to Franklin K. Lane? I'm like, yes. He goes, yeah. Is Mr. Greenbloom still there? I'm like, he was my gym teacher. He goes, that fucking guy, let me tell you. And he went into a whole diatribe. And, of course, Taz, they had football when he was there. They didn't have a football team when I was there. So we talked, and we had a nice little chat. And then, like, years later, the Wizards had him for an autograph signing.
Uh-huh.
They were like, you know.
They
were promoting him for a WrestlePro event in Bay Ridge. So I walk in, Taz's like, what's up there, Franklin K. Lane? I'm like, you remember me? He's like, I lost 100 pounds. He's like, yeah. He goes, what's going on? You know, so I have a lot in common with Taz. Born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens, and because Taz is a Richmond Hill Ozone Park guy.
Yeah.
He was born in Red Hook, but he wasn't raised in Red Hook. And me too, I was born in Brooklyn, raised in Queens, and we have a lot in common. So it's nice to see Taz is still doing his thing. But anyway, getting back to the video.
Yeah.
Matt, I can't. Well, we'll thank you guys. I said that last week. I did a philatorial. I said it last week. We'll thank you guys formally when we do the anniversary show. So I'm not going to go into a whole diatribe. But, you know, you guys are the main reason why I don't stop doing this. You know, and the reason why Jay comes from work. And you know, we do this because I'm home and we have the time. But, like, you know, it's getting harder and harder because it's, you know, we have to be grown-ups, and I don't and you guys prevent me from being grown-ups. prevent us from being grown-ups. So thank you very much. And I didn't even know the Kid Rock song existed. It's Jay's favorite Kid Rock song.
It's literally my favorite Kid Rock song.
Yeah, I'm not into the new Trump-tard Kid Rock, but I like his old stuff is amazing.
That was from 02. I remember they did a great it was from like 02, I think. 01 or 02, 03. I mean, it's not like he's out there denouncing his U.S. citizenship or something like
oh,
that.
Oh, thank God, no.
Yeah.
You know, but I just don't like, he's one of those guys that he's got everything now and pretends he doesn't. He reminds me of Springsteen. Like, Springsteen played that image of the working collar, you know, blue-collar working-class guy, born in the USA, wearing a do-rag, and he's got a mansion the size of New Jersey,
yeah.
Right? And it's like he just pretends, like he fakes the funk, and I'm like,
I like I said, I mean, that might just be perspective type stuff. I don't get that from Kid Rock. I get the idea of I think he's just the antithesis of what
America should be. Or his no. Right? Or his version of it, you know?
No.
I'm gonna brew my own beer, play with Charlie Daniels type shit.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Like, yeah, whatever's out there now, you know, I don't want to say mainstream media, but like kind of the antithesis of that. That's my interpretation of his stuff, but
this is why I love Dusty Rhodes, who's on tonight's throwback, by the way.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh, I can't wait.
Dusty lived the gimmick almost as much as Ric Flair did, right? He had money, but he didn't flaunt it, except when he bought the fucking...
The
fur coat. And him and Ric Flair had that story, too. He bought Magnum one. He bought his wife one. But, like, Dusty was
antithesis, yeah.
Of that. You know, it was like hanging out with David Allen Cole...
Yeah,
and Willie Nelson and whoever the best country singer was at the time, and then Ric Flair going, yeah, I'm in L.A. I'm hanging out with the Lakers.
Yeah.
I'm hanging out with Magic and Kareem and Worthy, and I'm like, you know, so. But when guys do it now, it's like, oh yeah, I'm hanging out with Trump, and you're right, the media just destroys them.
Yeah,
I just don't like in interviews. Kid Rock comes off like it's okay. Certain things are okay in this country, and they're not. Mm-hmm. And again, this is not the right and left anymore. It's about human nature at this point.
Yeah. Well, like I said, there's nobody. Kid Rock has that. I remember dating a girl once where she was just like, "Oh, I cannot stand him," because of just. I think it's the way he looks. Like he just.
Yeah. Well, that's half of Detroit, though. We love you, Detroit, by the way.
But you know, but he has, there's nobody that goes, like, I'm trying to think of somebody, you know, like Ed Sheeran, like, I don't know. I wouldn't say he looks like a math teacher, though. Yeah, but he's all right. Like, you know, I'll listen to him. He's all right.
I like him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But, like, nobody says, Kid Rock's all right. It's I fucking hate him or I love him.
Yeah, he went, you know, he's a big WWE fan, too, so. Like
WWE Hall of Famer.
Yeah. And you know what? The highlight of Kid Rock for me is the WWE stuff, right, that he did. He did a get in the pit and try to love someone.
Yeah.
He did a bunch of stuff for them. But he also did stuff with Bob Seger.
Yes.
And first of all, anybody out there who doesn't love Bob Seger and his Silver Bullet Band.
Yeah.
I'm denouncing you. No, I'm joking. I love Bob Seger.
Bob Seger's the shit.
I can listen to that dude all day, all night. And Kid Rock actually like jammed with him and toured with him. I'm like, that's just because to get him noticed again, I'm like, come on, man. Everything old is new again. Look at the Stranger Things. I've never seen it yet, but I'm dying to watch
it. I can't wait to see it.
I didn't watch it yet, but, you know, our boy Will is Sweeney, my best friend. He's really into it. Metallica, Master of Puppets is charting.
No, how about it's the same thing?
It's charting.
It's the From the, so you haven't watched any of it?
No, okay. No. This is the fourth season. I've never watched any of it.
Yeah. So earlier in the season, I no spoilers.
No, it's all right.
They had so yeah, Metallica's now charting because of it. But when it first came out, the fourth season, Kate Bush was
yes.
It revitalized that song running
yeah,
up the hill.
Yeah.
And the fact of that, it's even increased her, like, you know, it's she's selling records again. And
so did Queen when Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
But can you imagine, though, like, when did Master Puppets come out? 86?
Yeah, 86, 87.
86? Had to be 86.
Yeah, I think 86, 87.
Crazy. 30 years ago.
Yeah.
35 years
Kate
ago.
Kate Bush song is 82.
I'm not a Kate Bush person. You like Kate Bush?
I'm not a fan. I discovered her through Stranger
Things. Oh, through the show? Okay,
yeah.
All right, no.
I never knew that song. I love it. Actually, it is a great, like,
it's a catchy version. Tune.
Very. But, like, you know, that's like the song, like, me and the kids can agree on now. Like, she's like, oh, we can listen to it.
Oh, yeah, because the kids see the show. And
yeah, well, it's all over TikTok. It's all over this shit.
Yeah, you know, music has a way of creeping in. Hama has an account on PlayStation, and I forget, was his Twitch page or his Twitter page? He's got his background as that R&B singer Genuine.
Oh,
from, like, the 90s, that Pony song. I'm like, what do you know about Pony? He's like, yeah. It's Genuine. I'm like, I know who Genuine is. I went to high school, and he was in high school. I was in high school when kids were making babies of that song, you know?
Genuine, huh?
Yeah. So music has a way of just influencing everything, including the podcast. And so, with speaking of, so Matt, thank you for the video, man.
Yeah, that was really cool.
He's constantly a source of comfort. You know, he's a spiritual dude. So, like, I'll get a random call from him, like, you know, just like a wellness check. You know, and it like it's almost like he knows I'm having a hard time, even if I don't post anything on social media. You know. And I'm just like, yo, listen, here's what's going on, and I could be blunt with him, and you know he doesn't swear, so I do all the swearing, and it's like, you know, I just there are people in this world, you know, when I was a kid, I purposely was going down the wrong path of friends, you know, and I purposely stopped and surrounded myself with like-minded people who I knew were gonna check me.
Yeah.
Not necessarily like, you know, smack my hand and be like, shame on you, but just check me when shit got really out of hand. I don't need that as an adult anymore, except when I'm at work. But that's another story. But the show checks me. These guys, our crew checks me. You know, they make sure I'm all right, and they make sure I'm on a straight and narrow. So thank you. Anyway, what else is going on? I'm going to see Thor tonight.
Ah, the new one.
Yeah, I'm going to see. I texted Lou. I'm like, you guys going to see Thor? I was like, yeah. Well, where you sitting? I'm like, oh, he sent me a picture. I'm like, all right. Went to buy a ticket. The whole row's taken.
Uh huh.
So I'm gonna sit behind him. But yeah, you know, it's a Marvel movie. I'm excited. Yeah. All the Easter eggs are coming out now. All the rumors and what's going on with the universe and all that shit. So after watching Doctor Strange, I'm like, all right, now I'm all good. You know.
Yeah.
I'm very excited. Very 80s themed, apparently, which you know I like.
Yeah.
I know you like.
Yeah, yeah.
As Jay wears a Mr. Big shirt today.
Damn right.
So you know, it's nostalgia is what keeps us going. You know, so any hoot.
We got there's some wrestling news going
yeah,
on.
Yeah, you broke something to me while I was getting Matt's video, so I guess we'll open up with that.
Yeah. Apparently, the plot thickens with Vince McMahon and the they've done some investigating and found quite a few more and the hush monies and all this stuff upwards of about $72 million and supposedly one other wrestler one ex-wrestler female obviously you know don't know who it is. I guess we can all speculate, you know. You know, but this may not be good. It's funny the stock price actually has gone up since all this. I don't know what it's done today, but in recent, you know what I mean, in recent days, and I mean this has been out now. What we're going on about 2 weeks now. This story, 3 weeks now. And
yeah.
So to me. I think it's just going to keep getting worse. You know, I don't think he's going to be on TV anymore. It's kind
of... He was supposed to be on SmackDown, wasn't he, tonight?
Oh, was he supposed to be?
I thought so. That's what I heard. But would it make sense for him to be on TV right now? I don't think so.
No, it's
far. It's too much out of hand now.
This is a bad... I mean, anybody who's followed Vince McMahon closely, you know, especially like we have, it's not too surprising.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it wasn't shocking.
It's not shocking because you could just see how he is on TV and whatnot. And, you know, you got to be able to look at it objectively as you can. As it stands, you know, does it take away from the business? Right now it is.
Because it's social media and all that. I mean, like, you know, if this was 1985,
yeah,
you wouldn't know until it broke a week later in the papers.
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, that's the crux of it right there.
Yeah, the pulse. I mean, since it's happened, he's been microscoped and people, you know, watching every movie he makes, you know.
And it's not surprising, like I said, once again, not too surprising of Vince to go through this because, like I said, same thing. Like you would think that we might have heard of this stuff already, like from years ago. Like, you know, he had that one thing with the female referee or something in the early 90s or late 80s. I forget whenever it was. But, you know, this isn't a good look. You know,
No.
And like I said, I mean, I wonder, you know, at this point, do you, like you said, is he now forced? Now, something, it's one thing the first thing came out, and then I don't care what anybody says. He came out on SmackDown. I was kind of, I think it was Bully Ray that said it, where he said, you know, this might have been like the last time, so.
Does this put the nail in the coffin of Vince?
No.
Publicly?
No.
No.
Because anything can be taken back. I mean, there's very few things. Like the Chris Benoit stuff can never look the blind eye. We mentioned Bill Cosby on the show with his public.
Yeah.
It'll never, he could still perform.
Yeah.
And he'll still draw a crowd.
Right.
But it's nowhere near where it's going to be. This area, I don't think so.
With the state of affairs with sports entertainment, you know, as they're pushing now tickets for WrestleMania already with travel packages now, and they're pushing the card in Europe, and SummerSlam is literally a month away, so it's like less than a month away. I think it's like isn't it the end of July this year? SummerSlam?
At July 30th, yeah.
Right, so like what do you, you know, it's, I don't know. For me, I know that it would be a nail in a coffin if decisions were internally made regarding the company's progress without his input. Once his input stops, publicly and privately, then I think he's a done deal. He can retire and do what he's got to do. But for now, like you said, it's stuff can be taken.
It's
back,
yeah. It's upwards. Like I said, it's seems to be like about four different women. I think the money, I just looked it up again, is about
$12 million.
$12 million.
That's the link you sent me.
Yeah, about $12 million. But you know, can he come back? Of course.
It's a lot of scratch.
Listen, but like I said, you know, it's one of those things where if it has to come from his pocket, otherwise is, you know, and Vince is not a dumb guy, you know what I mean? I don't think he would be taken off the top to be paying this type of stuff.
Trying to write it off as a travel expense.
He ain't that stupid. It's a publicly traded company. He ain't that stupid.
Right. No, facts, man. Facts.
But let's call it what it is. You know what I mean? You know, you can't have the head guy having an affair. We, you know, as far as we're all concerned, he's married. Whatever their living arrangement, whatever their arrangement is,
legally they're still married. Absolutely,
that's beyond us. You know, but you know, in the eyes of the shareholders, this is a bad look. So,
oh, of course, 100%.
So, you know, it hasn't really affected the stock price too much. So, maybe there's a separation between this, maybe being the fact that he did, and it makes more sense now why he removed himself.
Yeah.
He knew that there's going to be more bodies uncovered.
Yeah, I mean, this is probably, you know, yeah, it's probably just a save your own ass type, cover your own ass type of thing, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, anyway, we'll stick with WWE for a minute. Did you see Money in the Bank?
Yes. I enjoyed it.
I enjoyed it immensely.
I enjoyed it. I was very surprised how
so
much
was
I enjoyed it.
So was I. The tag team match for me, again, you know, and a couple of famous wrestlers do podcasts have given the Usos kudos, Ric Flair, Tony Schiavone,
yeah.
All these guys acknowledge that the Usos have been putting in the work for the last a decade now at this point almost. That match with the Street Profits.
It was amazing.
Was fantastic.
It was absolutely
right?
Amazing.
It was classic tag team, and it's not the first time they've done this. And you know what? It's funny because people are like, how can you see the same match over and over again? I'm like, it's not the same match. Because I watched the Rock and Roll Express feud with the tags. You still had Ricky Morton taking a beating of his life, then Robert Gibson with the hot tag. You know, it's like you saw elements of their gimmicks, of their move sets, but it wasn't the same match. I'm sorry. It's like ballet. You could see fucking Swan Lake 10 times in a row. It's the same story. You're getting different acts, though. You're getting different people or the same person, but you're getting a different show. You know, maybe she didn't kick her leg high enough last show. Maybe she wasn't feeling well. Maybe she was feeling great. You know, you don't know.
Yeah.
But I enjoyed it. And then there was talks of them splitting the Profits up, which would suck because they want to push Montez Ford, right?
Yeah,
but it's
they were definitely hinting at it.
Yeah, they were hinting at it in storyline. I'm like, here's what's going to happen. You split them up, and Montez is going to go for a big push, and then he's going to be a fucking mid-carder for the rest of his career. Okay? And then the other guy, the fuck's his name again? I keep forgetting.
Angelo Dawkins.
Dawkins is going to be nothing. I'm not saying he's not a bad guy, because Dawkins can go. Mm-hmm. He wrestled in Evolve, and he's been around. But, like, Dawkins will, at that point, he'll be non-existent. That team will be terrible if they split him up. Same thing with the Dudleys. When they split the Dudleys up, it was terrible, right? But, anyway, that was good. And I want to address the two Money in the Bank winners, okay?
Yeah.
We complain constantly that they're safe, that they don't create new stars, that they don't do the right thing by the talent. When you have all the people like, well, the talent pool is slim. It's not. There's 60, 70 guys and girls back there who can do it. And I said this a couple weeks ago. If you're complaining that Liv Morgan and Austin Theory are your Money in the Bank winners, then you truly are not a fan of the product. Okay, you want this. You want new people winning this. You want new people winning the titles. And apparently, Ronda Rousey pushed for it.
Yeah, which is
okay.
Which is great to read.
So, like, if you're reading this and it's true, because you know it's all dirt sheet shit. If you're reading that and it's legitimate, like the main talent wants to put the up and coming talent over, that's what you're supposed to do. If you're a baseball player coming up in the minors and you want to play, like, the Mets right now have the number two prospect in baseball, a catcher. Mm-hmm. This kid is this close from being big time. He's killing it in every level, but they don't want to bring him up yet. They have James McCann, who they gave $30 million to a year or two ago. Okay? But McCann knows when this kid comes up, he's the mentor.
Yep.
I'm going to put you over so when I walk away from it, you're going to be the guy. And this, it happens in sport with the quarterback situations. You got a young quarterback, you know, Bledsoe had this young kid on, what's his name, Tom Brady? Was that his name? Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was his name.
That guy, who, you know, when he got his lungs punctured, and I was there for that, by the way, was like, you know what? Even when I came back and wanted to play, he was the kid.
Yep.
You're grooming him. This is what, it's called evolution. You can't have the same people winning these fucking belts and wearing these and winning these briefcases and expecting, it's like what's Einstein's saying? If you expect the same thing,
Yeah.
Insanity is expecting the same thing every time or something like that.
Doing the same thing. Doing the same,
yeah.
Expecting a different result.
Different result. But the kid is nothing short of amazing, okay? And he's been on every level in the indies, and he's killed it. When they brought him here, they groomed him. They put him in NXT. They made him a lackey. They made him. They built this kid up to this point. Vince McMahon gets involved in this kid's career and gets the rub. And now he loses the U.S. title, and then in the same night, he wins Money in the Bank.
They're making stars.
That's the way to do it.
And well, that's the idea. Like, you can't make anybody happy.
I just, you know, I read, and I thank God I don't get involved with these discussions. Even on our page, I don't get involved in a lot of discussions because it's like, what are you watching? And I know this is, you know, we've all been in the same room and saw the same match and had different comments about it, but that's different. Like, how are you not excited about that?
Yeah. Especially the Liv Morgan one was good. I mean, the win itself was like, okay, cool. Who did we really expect to win that? Like, you know, I mean, to me, Becky was a good choice. I think would have been the safe choice. Asuka, everybody was clamoring for her to win.
Yeah, because she just came back.
But Liv, I don't know. I think that was an excellent choice. And then to cap it off, to her have her cash it in at the end, I didn't like the roll-up. She kicked the leg and then did a roll-up. You know, and this is just I'm going to nitpick it, but, like, you know, the roll-up I didn't mind. Ronda had a hell of a match. I even loved the match with Natty. I thought it was a great match.
Oh, Natty gave her a good match, as she's supposed to.
And
that's her job.
But with the cash-in, she kicks her in the leg, and, yeah, you know, Ronda's tired and all this. But to lose to a roll-up like that, you know, she popped back up at the end. Like, I wish there was a little bit more either selling or I didn't want to give the belt up. You
okay.
know, I but
that's fair. That's
it
fair.
It seemed contrived that, which was, it was good. You know, Ronda, Patton, Liv Morgan on the back. Like, it was, to me, it was good. But could have been done a little bit differently. But at the end of it you leave, we left happy. And I'm still very happy to see what's going to happen. Like you said, new stars. That's what we want. We want new stars.
No, we want new stars, man. I'm as an older fan, it's like, you know, I told you guys I could pick out anything good out of a terrible show. I still can. But I was literally excited to watch this. I watched, it was a Saturday night. So it was like, you know, and I'm not home on Saturday nights mostly. So I'm like, where I was watching it. And I'm like, you know what? This is the way it should be,
yeah.
You know, and there's glimpses of it. You know, it's, again, like Jay said, you're not going to please everybody, you know?
Yeah.
You're not going to, but
I mean, this is.
But this is like not liking that, and you claim to be a fan, you're fucking stretching, man. You're really, like, the way Jay just nitpicked at the end of that match, you're going above that. Like, you're like,
yeah.
You're pulling I don't know, you're pulling a diamond out of a piece of coal, and it's not there yet. You know, it's not ready. Let it live, man. Let it breathe.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Like,
just let it breathe.
Let's see what happens. I mean, we've been saying it for a while. They have no choice on sabbatical right now. They have no choice but to create new stars.
Yeah.
You know, Cody's out hurt. Randy Orton's out hurt. You're you know, you have a bench. Start using it. And,
you got
and
the
that's
Seths. You got, yeah. You got the safe ones. You got the Seths. You got the Kevin Owenses. You got the Mizes. You got all these guys. But now you have Theory. You know, you have guys like Theory. You know, you still have, what's his face? You got Shinsuke, man. You got, I'm not a big fan of him, but you got Damian Priest. You got,
yeah.
You know, you got guys in. You know, you got all these guys. You know, you work. You have Finn Balor.
Yeah.
You have Fergal.
Yeah.
You know, you have Finn friggin' Balor. You know. Come on, man. Get with the program. Did you see Great American Bash?
That I did not see.
Yeah, I didn't see it either.
Yeah, that
but
I did
got
not
the
see.
Results, and it was, you know, it was okay, and they're moving stuff along over there. I like NXT right now. They're doing good.
Yeah, especially like you said, if Triple H is back at the helm,
yeah.
You know, which is we are all led to believe he is. This could be a really good look.
Yeah, and I'm excited that there's a, well, they got a new Let me pull up the results, because I was reading them before, and I know that another guy just came in and jumped what's his face?
Before we go to NXT, what do you think that excuse me, what do you think that vignette was where they showed all
Edge?
That is Edge.
It can't be Bray Wyatt.
Yeah. Because I was saying, because they showed Kurt Angle's medals, they showed the Hardy Boys.
Yeah.
You know, like it was Jeff's, you know, wrist sock or whatever the hell that thing is called.
Yeah, Cora Jade and Roxanne fought your girl Gigi and JC Jane for the tag titles. Cora Jade and Roxanne won the titles. So Gigi's titleless, but I don't think Jay cares.
No.
Wesley fought Trick Williams. I'm glad Trick Williams is getting a little bit of a singles thing, because he's him tied to Carmelo is nice,
yeah.
But Trick Williams can actually wrestle.
Yes.
So they could make him a star. So he won that match. Wendy Chu versus Tiffany Stratton. Tiffany won that match. What else is going on here? Let's see. It's Carmelo Hayes. Carmelo and let's see here. Roddy and Damon Kemp versus the Creed Brothers. I like the Creed Brothers. Yeah. Building new stars. You know, I like that a lot. And if you're not a fan of these new stars being built, please don't come on social media and cry about it. Like, you know, at least have a valid point. Pick the talent. Like, if the person's really terrible in the ring and getting that crazy push tonight, then yeah, you got an argument. But these kids can go, man. It's not like none of these people are giving you really bad matches, you know? You know, and again, I'm a sucker for nostalgia. Nothing entertains me more than stuff from 20, 30 years ago. I could do school, you know what I'm saying? All right, before I get into AEW, I'm really excited. I know, because it's and I'm excited because building it already. The Briscoes with Joe and Jay Lethal, you know? And I'm shot on matches now on AEW. And I'm sure the merch page part of Ring of Honor.
Yeah, I can't. Like I said, they're going to do some big things over there. What is it? Death Before Dishonor?
Yeah, in Lowell, Mass. Western Massachusetts.
Mm-hmm.
And it's going to be a great match. A great card, I should say. Because I'm going to get the pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So I'm going to, you know, I'm sure Mott Spock is excited. Their part. I'm not fans of Ring of Honor fans, you know. Choppy's a huge Ring of Honor. Choppy was at probably one of the first cards ever.
Oh, for...
I think he was at the first card in Jersey. So he's a big Ring of Honor fan, so I'm sure he's excited too. And I don't know. Did you see Dynamite?
I've seen most of it. And like I said, to me, Blood and Guts was 2 weeks ago.
Yeah.
Did I see that?
It's a great concept.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what I'm not cool with. Okay, Tony Khan has to start buying some more airtime.
Oh, because it's rushed.
Don't give me picture in picture. For a fucking double cage match, man, or a world title match, that irks the shit out of me, Jay. It irks the absolute shit out of me. I cannot stand when you're putting important stories and main events. Stay right there, picture in picture. I don't want to hear it.
Yeah. No, that's very, very, very true. I mean,
by the half hour, dude, you're a fucking billionaire.
Not even that, though, but like, Blood and Guts shouldn't even be on regular TV, in essence.
All right.
If we're going to talk booking-wise.
All right. That's fair, and I agree with you. But if you're going to put it on TV.
That's what it is. You're going to put
it on.
And
it's once
there.
A year,
yep.
Jay. It's once a year. If you're not going to put it on pay-per-view, you're going to put it on TV. It's not like having these cage matches every 6 months where you got to buy $1 million worth of fucking airtime.
Yeah.
Because TV is expensive. I get it. But you're doing it once a year. Set the money aside.
Yeah.
But I want to see a cage match. It's my favorite gimmick, Jay.
Yeah.
It's my favorite gimmick. It's my favorite gimmick match of all time. Do not. I came home. Dude, I was home just in time for the main event. I was so excited. I made a sandwich, chips, my little cola, sat where you're sitting. And I'm like, man, I am so excited. Double cage. It's a war game, if you will. And I'm excited now. No, I wasn't that excited. And all the spots on top, you gave Martha Hart a fucking 30-minute for the awards on the pay-per-view,
yeah.
Okay? And no disrespect to Martha Hart, but she's not a public speaker.
Yeah.
Okay. That dragged. It was awful. The participants were great because they want. I wanted to see Cole and Britt win their respective tournament matches, right?
Yeah.
But like, you gave her 30 fucking minutes to give awards out. You mean you can't give me 30 minutes for a cage for an important cage match?
Yeah, yeah. Well, like I said, to me, it's the same stuff where it's booking wise. It just sometimes a lot of stuff in AEW makes sense, but there's a lot of other stuff too that doesn't. And I get that you're throwing this on TV. You know, you can't help but think. You can't help but wonder if it's just more of a ratings ploy.
Of course it is.
You know,
why wouldn't it be? Why would you purposely take a pay-per-view match and put it on TV and not expect ratings for that?
Yeah. I mean, but coming out of this past week, we had the big news is Wardlow winning the belt.
Yeah, he won the title that night.
I think that's a great thing.
Which might set up MJF's return for him.
Yeah, at this point they haven't mentioned MJF, and I'm glad they haven't. Maybe they're just trying to let us all forget what happened. And like I said, I still think it's a work. I still think if MJF comes back and feuds with Wardlow, nothing against that, but I don't want to see MJF doing that. I want to see him going for the main belt. I want to see him, like I said, where, you know, have him defeat, you know, Moxley in a weird cutthroat, you know, cheating way, and now he's the interim belt, he's the interim title holder, and goes against CM Punk when CM Punk gets
That's how you would book it, right?
That's how I would want to do it, yeah. Because this way, because you can have just promos of MJF just lighten it up. Yeah.
Yeah. I wasn't bored of that at all.
No, not at all.
I wasn't bored of that at all. Yeah, so, I mean, you know, I just, like I said, I'm not, all I know is that, yeah, so this week, Wardlow wins the TNT championship, I should say.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm a little, well, if Scorpio Sky wasn't champion, I wouldn't feel so bad because I love Scorpio Sky.
Yeah.
You know? So I feel like he needs to be back in a tag team.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I hope he doesn't get overlooked. I like him and Ethan Page together.
Yeah, they make a good team.
But I hope he doesn't get overlooked somehow.
Yeah.
And we had the big debut of Roosh.
Yes. Who a lot of people do not like.
I don't know. I disagree.
I didn't like him as Ring of Honor champion, but I like him.
Yeah.
I like him with Andrade. Makes sense. And they have history. Mm-hmm. They have a stable in Mexico that they're bringing to the States. Again, I'm a stable mark, okay? A faction mark. I'm all about that. It was good. It was good though. You know, I enjoyed that. I'm actually gonna rewatch some of that because I didn't see all of it. And then of course the match of the night.
Yeah, big time.
Mox and Brody King.
What a fucking match.
Yeah, let me tell you something. Apparently, when Mox obviously wins the match. I enjoy him getting his face caved in, but I'm not emotionally attached to him. But he does put on good matches. He's not bad in the ring, right? But he did wonders for Brody King. Yeah. Brody had the match of his career. This is the second match. This is the second title match I've seen Brody King in that he could have won the match. The Ring of Honor title match he had.
I was just going to say ROH.
Right? And then he lost. Who did he fought? What's his face? Dragon Lee, was it? I think it was Dragon Lee. It was a three-way. But anyway.
Or Bandito.
Bandito, yeah. I think it was a three-way, though. I think it was Bandito and Dragon Lee. But still, Brody King could have won that match in storyline. Obviously, he wasn't winning the Ring of Honor, the AEW championship. But he could have. That's how it looked. And Mox gave him a fucking fight. And it just, and then on top of that, when the match is ending, the match is done, they're off camera, Darby Allin comes out with Sting.
Yes.
And was like, yo. Like, they didn't have to do that. Like, that wasn't written. That was them just in Gorilla probably watching the match. And Sting's like, I got to go out there and give him his props.
Yeah.
Like, when Sting gives you props, you know, and Darby Allin, who's a main player over there, I see nothing but big things for Brody. I love Brody King. I love everything about him. I love his attitude. I love the fact he's a hardcore singer in a band, and I love his look. I love his mindset that he's still young in the game. that he still he elevated rather quickly. He's only been in the game for a couple of years,
yeah,
and he's already getting title matches, and he's already getting that respect and notoriety from his peers, and that just goes to show his abilities, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, gag.
No, but like I said, I mean, that's exactly it, and this is, you know, like what WWE, I believe, is trying to do. AEW does a pretty good job, even though they are just stacked beyond stacked with talent.
Yeah.
They need to start showcasing new talent, and this is a way to do it. Like I said, I love the fact that Pac is the All-Atlantic champion. House of the Black, I think, is something to pay attention to. Malakai Black, these guys are excellent workers. We're in a whole new realm now. And at least if they can get the freaking time, you know, and not just be on Elevation or not just be on Rampage, you know, get relegated to that. Like, if they could do this, like I said, I'm not mad at Brody King. You can still lose. Foley says it the best. Like, Foley, I was listening to his pod, and he was talking about it. He goes, yeah, I lost a lot on TV. But he's like, I lost a lot of high-profile matches.
Yeah.
You can still get over by losing.
Of course.
And so, like, you don't need to win every match. Brody King wrestling the champion in a hot, it was a great match.
Yeah.
And in a losing fashion, he still can get his heat back, without a doubt. So I've always said it from Jump Street with that stuff.
You remember a couple of weeks ago I said that Tony Khan can showcase talent on Ring of Honor too now?
Yes.
Right? Can they still do that? My question to you is, can they still do that and keep the integrity of what Ring of Honor was? Without making it like AEW Lite or AEW 2.0, can they, you know how Ring of Honor is, it's honor, it's tradition, it's all that shit, but they didn't really curve away from all of that all that much in their last couple of years of their existence before the revamp, right? Can they still do that with some of that locker room that Tony Khan has now? Like, saying, like, can they send a Brody King down to Ring of Honor and him beat fucking Jonathan Gresham for the title and then have a David and Goliath rematch where Jonathan Gresham was probably one of the best technical wrestlers in the world?
Yeah.
And, you know, can they send guys like Jungle Boy or Ethan Page or any? Can they send them to Ring of Honor?
Absolutely.
Can they send Adam Cole back there and win the title?
They should.
They can, right?
They can and they should.
They can, because all week I'm like in my mind going, I'm so amped up for Ring of Honor now, right? And if they can do that and have some of these guys sitting around doing nothing, send fucking John Silver down there, man.
Well, like I said, and especially now, like, look who the tag champs are, FTR. Like, you can have, like, they're now eight,
they're Ring of Honor.
Ring of Honor. Where are they?
New Japan. IWGP. And Mexico. AAA.
So now, the only thing that's missing right now is AEW.
Right.
But here's the funny thing. They don't need it on AEW.
No.
I mean, you got the Young Bucks right now.
Two-time champs.
Young Bucks don't need it either.
No, they know they don't. But they in storyline, makes sense.
But, you know, you can go have FTR just sit here and just go roughshod on everybody around here. Like I said, you could send them down there. You can you have all this talent, and even guys like one thing about like the Elevation and Dark or whatever is they do have unsigned talent show up there. Like, there's no better place to have that be in than Ring of Honor. Have them, like you said, I don't want to say be a feeder system, like you said, NXT, you know, AEW.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I'm not saying be a feeder system. You can be your own entity. And like you said, you can get these guys to and you can have your own storylines. So, I hope that's what they do. I think that's what they're going to do. They have no choice. You have all these people that are just back there doing nothing, like the Sunny Kisses, and it's the same names we always say. It's the same names
same
we always
people,
say.
Right, 100%.
So.
100%. So, anything else? Anything?
No, I think that's it.
We're a little light today.
We're a little light.
because you know if Vince didn't pay out more money to his harem,
we
would have less news. But
now the other side of that is do we see him on? Does he come out on SmackDown?
Does he give a shit at 70 something years old? Right? I don't know, man. Like I was. That's the first thing I want. When you sent me that and on your way here, that's the first thing I want to ask you. Like. Does he give a shit? Like, does he care? Like, I don't know.
I would want to say yes. He cares because it's going to leave a stain on the business. In a sense, and not wrestling business, just business.
On his business, period, yes. Right.
That's why he gives a shit. You know, but it's funny to think about, because it's, I don't know, I must have said it, or maybe I just thought it and never said it out loud, but Vince was somebody who... relatively was never in the news, and like I said,
right.
Now we see why.
Head of Goldman Sachs does this,
there was somebody
just goes to show what depending on what industry
got,
you're in.
Somebody got let go for somebody got let go. I'll have to dial it back and really remember, but somebody year or two was the CEO. Was it McDonald's? It might have been McDonald's, who was a higher up and, you know, basically, essentially, you know, had hush money, threw people hush money, and then they let him go.
Right.
So it's not impossible,
right.
You know,
for
this to happen. But, you know, does he give a shit? I think he gives a shit only for the business. Does he give a shit personally? No.
Personally, probably not, no. I agree there.
Because I just think he's just people in that kind of air, you know what I mean? Where you're constantly being, I don't want to say catered to, but you know, you don't have to. I'm not going to say that there's no inconveniences, because there's probably a bunch of inconveniences, but like, great example today. We're done with the, you know, for lunch, whatever, at work, we go to Starbucks, and I'm not like the biggest Starbucks fan for coffee.
I don't see you as a Starbucks guy at all.
Yeah, I really kind of, but you know, whatever. We had it and waited 15 minutes for coffee. Now it was jam packed in there, fucking jam packed. Online orders, this and that, blah blah blah, whatever. Like, but I wait, and I take my coffee black. So register lady has to do is, or what's it, a barista or the barista. I'm not looking for a macchiato.
Yeah, can I have a $7 chai mocha fucker?
Yeah, I waited. Vince McMahon does not deal with that inconvenience.
Right. Right. He doesn't have to.
You know what I mean? So like, so to me, he may have this, and I don't, and I'm going to use my word, this megalomania in a sense of like, this complex of like, well, I gave her money to shut the fuck up. What's the problem? I don't understand. You know what I mean? He may have that kind of vision of the world sometimes. I you know, you like to think better of people, but
you want to,
you
right?
Want to, but he may just be like, I don't know. But at the end of the day, it's not a good look. This to come out today, you know, I'd be very curious to see. I would be very surprised, like I said it before, if he comes out. I think the first time he came out, I agreed with people who said, oh, yeah, that's Vince's chance to say goodbye. When he came out on Raw just to announce John Cena, that's a fuck you. That's how Vince is. If he comes out now, I would be very surprised.
All right, that's fair. Ladies and gentlemen, we are the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, as always. For the last 10 years, we are the Reconciliation and Sports Entertainment Broadcasting. Don't say that three times fast. And
paid for by...
Have some laughs, because we believe this is the last AEW podcast you'll ever need. Join us every Wednesday night at 10:15 p.m. on rantemradio.com and Facebook Live. We can also be found on all major podcast forums as part of the Shining Wizards Network. So stop listening to inferior AEW podcasts and bring a new podcast into your life by joining us.
Join the Mark Order Podcast.
Follow us on Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok at Mark Order Pod, and on Facebook.com/MarkOrderPod. Don't forget to tag us on social media and use hashtag JoinTheMarkOrder, because if you don't find us,
we will find you.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on RantEMRadio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to ShiningWizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
Hey, it's Tony Schiavone of AEW, and you are listening to the Turnbuckle Throwbacks with Phil J and that pain in the ass, Choppy.
It just doesn't work out the way I want it to, and I get real frustrated. Like, I try hard to do it, and I take my time, but it just doesn't work out the way I want it to. It's like I'm real hard, but it just doesn't work out, and everything I do and everything I try, it never turns out. It's like, I need time to figure these things out. There's always someone there going, hey Mike, you know, we've been noticing you've been having a lot of problems lately, you know? Maybe get away, and like, maybe you should talk about it, you'll feel a lot better. But hey, you know, I'll figure it out. Just leave me alone, I'll figure it out, you know? I'm just working on myself. They go, well, you know, if you want to talk about it, I'll be here, you know? And you'll probably feel a lot better if you talk about it. So why don't you talk about it? I go, no, I don't want to, I'm okay. I'll figure it out myself. And they just keep bugging me. They just keep bugging me, and it feels like
it's true.
All I wanted was a Pepsi. All I wanted was a Pepsi, and she wouldn't give it to me. All Mike wanted was a Pepsi. That's all he wanted.
1983.
Yeah. Yeah, what a time to be alive.
Times seemed to be simpler back then sometimes.
You think?
Sometimes.
Sometimes.
Other times not.
Yeah, right.
And now, here is your throwback of the week, sponsored by the Shining Wizards Network and Rant EM Radio.
All right, Cablevision and Madison Square Garden Network present Championship Wrestling from Madison Square Garden, July the 30th, 1983 is our throwback of the week. Howard Finkel is your ring announcer. Gorilla Monsoon solo tonight.
Yeah.
Very rare you see Gorilla Monsoon solo to call in a match. Once in a while when he did the Tuesday show with Bobby, he would overdub and call matches like that. But
well, that's what I mean. He was calling it live. It seemed like
He was.
Yeah, but,
he was.
And it's a nice. It was funny. I was watching something before I watched this. It took me a few times to watch it because I was.
It happens. It happens.
I was watching something from 70.
Didn't see all my shit was riveting.
78 or 79. And I haven't. I've been wanting to watch it. It was Harley Race against Dusty Rhodes at the Garden.
At the Garden?
Yes.
At Madison Square Garden?
Madison Square Garden.
Oh, shit.
It was on. I found it on the Classics.
Okay.
Seen
it, but.
But really much so into snooker a little bit, but kind of enhancement matches, better yet, you know. I've never seen a Tony Garea match. there'd be a brawl or something. He'd be like, there's Garea, one of my favorite guys. And, you know, you always forget, you know, they started somewhere. Fuji later on, you know, would have a match. But, yeah, it's something beautiful about it. And just the old approach and the storytelling is just, it's when it's done right, it's the best thing in the world.
I agree.
Now, you weren't at this show, correct?
No. My first match wasn't until 80. My first live match wasn't until 85.
Okay.
I had just gotten into wrestling, like, later this year, like, 83, 84. Like, I was really, when Piper came in and Dr. D. David Schultz. And so this is, like, for me, I'm rediscovering the first half of this year and 83 in general because I got into baseball in 82. So I'm like, now I'm more aware of stuff now. I'm getting, like, I'm reading box scores and newspaper articles, and now I'm starting to get magazines and shit like that. So this was for me, you know, your opening contest was, an opening contest.
Why is it when I see Iron Mike Sharp, I instantly smile?
The self-professed Canada's greatest athlete,
yep.
an opera singer, by the way, in his free time, against... usually a tag team wrestler, Tony Garea.
Yeah, and like I said, I mean, I know Tony Garea at this before. This is after his run with Martel, correct?
Yeah, two-time tag team champions with Rick Martel. I think him and Martel were like 79, 80, and then I think 81 or something like that. I have to look up the actual dates, but this was a couple of years after that. And Martel at this point was not with the company.
Yeah,
he went back. He went to AWA.
And
a lot of Canadian guys did the Grand Prix. Wrestling with the Papa Rougeau. He ran the Grand Prix Pro Wrestling, the Montreal chapter.
Was that the Death March, like the Death Tour or something like that, out in the cold mountains of fucking Canada?
No, that's that you're talking about the Western Canada. That was this was like Montreal and you know, this is like Northern Canada, not you know, this is like Northeast Canada. But this was like a lot of guys went there, but Tony Garea, I think he at that point was the only guy out of New Zealand that made something.
Yeah.
At that point, but this, I mean, you know, good, solid match for an
great,
opening match.
Once again, going to go back to it in the sense of you're not getting caught up in the hoopla, like you said, where you would go to like the local events, you know, at the local gymnasium or what have you. You would just see two guys wrestling, and you can instantly tell who's the babyface, who's the heel. Like I said, when I see Iron Mike Sharp, I automatically smile because I just go, okay, it's going to be entertaining. It was a great match. It was supposed to be, you know, they went for the time limit draw.
Yeah, it was like, Mike Sharp had the upper hand for most of the match. Tony Garea, being the babyface, fights his way back, gets him to a frenzy, gets the crowd worked up. I can't believe this was like 20 minutes.
Yeah.
And he gets him in an abdominal stretch, and then the match is called the draw.
It was, like I said, perfectly done. Like, and it makes you, especially, you know, and I will gladly admit, I always give far too much thought to these things. But... you know how the business was back then. Like there was no going over the match.
Well, that was my point.
You know what I mean? So like so right there, you know, pretty much probably Iron Mike is probably calling the match inside the ring, listening to the crowd, and you know it was perfectly done. I'm sure they had the finish worked out. Maybe that's it, and then they just worked backwards. And I love it. Like I said, when you watch stuff like this, and even when I was watching the other stuff from 78 or 79, you could just see these guys just going in and just like, just no, you know, they don't really talk about it. Like now you could see how everything's choreographed almost. I think, you know, that might be the best word to describe it. But I liked the match. The next match was the Invaders.
No, next match was SD Jones.
Oh, yes, yes,
against the former Royal Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion Ivan Koloff, the Russian bear.
Yes, yes.
Wasn't bad. SD Jones was a regional guy, won some championships, came to WWF, became a jobber to the stars.
Yeah.
Ivan Koloff still went.
But you know what? Like, jobber to the stars, yes, but he won matches as well.
Listen, the guy got an action figure.
Yeah.
Okay.
But like, it's like one of those where it's like, you know, like they tried redoing the storyline, you know, in the 90s with Barry Horowitz. Like, Barry Horowitz actually winning a few matches. But like, these guys would face local talent. Like I said, they're the warm up the show. They're the first match, second match.
Yeah.
Guys, but you see Ivan Koloff against.
It's great. He brings Koloff in for a body slam from the outside.
Yep.
And Koloff rolls him over, gets the fucking win.
It's and like I said, I mean, Ivan Koloff, who's, you know, got some age on him at this point, and he still wrestles all the way to the late 80s.
Ivan Koloff goes back to, he goes to Jim Crockett after this.
Yeah.
Like, 2 years later,
he's big time.
He's in a major angle.
And has another, like almost like another.
Yeah, he wins the six-man championship. He's the world tag, he won the world tag team championship.
You know, and like I said, his claim to fame is he beat Bruno.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one that first dethroned him.
Bruno's request, by the way.
Yeah. Bruno's like, I'm fucking done, Vince. I'm done, Vince.
Yeah.
But, like I said, same thing. You know, not a quick match, but not as long as the opener.
Yeah.
The next match was the Invaders, the murderer, we called them.
Invader 2, yeah.
Yeah.
Jose Rivera, piece of shit. But this was when Puerto Rico was giving talent to Vince.
Yeah, Gorilla Monsoon.
Gorilla Monsoon had a piece of that territory.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And,
come to find out later on in life.
Who's the other guy? Oh, my God. I'm drawing a blank right now. He was all over Brody's wife's book. It'll come to me. Like I said, another match, you know, bringing in the stars. WWF at this point was always good with bringing in, you know, they would bring in Tiger Mask. They would bring in, you know, we're going to see Dusty Rhodes later on. Like, it's really good to see, like, there's no distinct battle lines.
I forgot the name of these guys. They're fighting already. I fucking drew a blank.
It was Gypsy Rodriguez and Jeff Carney, I wrote.
Yes, I'm sorry. Yeah, so this is, you know, and then, you know, the Invaders were the top team.
Yeah.
In Puerto Rico at this point. So they bring them up and they fight, you know, they showcase them against two job guys. So that's how they did that.
And, but like, I like seeing the, you know, like I said, there's no, they would bring in talent from all over the place, Puerto Rico, Mexico, Japan. There was no shortage of marquee names too. Like I said, Dusty coming in later on in this card. You know, nothing special about this match. You know,
no, the finish was one of the Invaders does a body slam, and then the other guy does the fucking whips his brother off the ropes, and then he basically hip tosses him into his opponent. That's how he gets the win.
Yeah.
So that was weird seeing that for a finish, but then again, a lot of back then, you know.
Yeah.
So, can I play audio from the next match? Because I like the way this is done. So I like to hear his voice. I love Big John Studd. Let's play the.
Rocco and the Superfly, Jimmy Snuka, in just a moment. Outstanding victory here for the Invaders in their premier appearance in Madison Square Garden as they showed us.
I just want to hear the announcement.
Coming right back very shortly with an outstanding matchup as Big John Studd will take on Salvatore Palomo. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
They announced. They do announce though, right? I think on his card. Yeah.
Well, we're waiting as the big confrontation is going to take place here as we're waiting the arrival of Big John Studd as the Pride of Italy is already in the ring. Salvatore Palomo.
Pride of Italy.
He's got a
very young Sal Palomo.
Fans here in Madison Square Garden. They're hanging from the rafters tonight, folks, and there's a look at his opposition.
Fucking massive.
The man who claims to be the only true giant in professional wrestling, Big John Studd.
Let's go to the ring announcer.
Let's go up to our ring announcer.
This contest is scheduled for one fall with a 20-minute time limit.
Like, he needs 20 minutes.
Introducing first, to my left, from Los Angeles, California, weighing 364 pounds,
yeah,
Big John Studd.
That's all I wanted to hear.
Yeah,
I like the way his name was announced.
The only true giant. What a dig at Andre, huh?
Big John Mitten from, Big John was from like Virginia or Maryland originally. But John, I didn't appreciate John Studd until I was older.
Yeah.
But what a great talent, man. He cuts promos. Like when they started doing the Tuesday thing on USA,
yeah,
him and Bobby would go on there, Tuesday Night Titans, and they would just talk shit to Vince McMahon. And just like, he was awesome, man.
Yeah, he, like I said, he was, it's one of those where everything is timing. And like I said, when he came in, was this his debut, did you say?
This is his coming in, yeah. They just brought him in at this point. This is even before he had Bobby Heenan. This is before Bobby. Bobby's not here yet.
No, Bobby's not here yet.
You still had, they just lost Ernie Roth, the Grand Wizard. They had, Fuji wasn't a manager yet. He was still wrestling at this point because he's wrestling on his card.
Yeah.
You had the Guiding Light, Captain Louis Albano. You had Arnold Skolin as manager. You had, this guy, Buddy Rogers only had one protege, and that was Jimmy Snuka.
Yeah, and Snuka almost killed
and
him.
And yeah, Freddie
overhead.
You want to hear some Jimmy Superfly Snuka?
The ring with that you can beat him, so you will do it.
Boy, Buddy Rogers.
Lose your cool.
Am I cool? But there's only one concern.
Am I screen freezes, of course, because it's thermal throwbacks. You know, it is what it is. I'm sorry.
Not a good thing, brother.
Not a good thing, brother.
It's a terrible thing that you did. But always remember, this is one moment that I've been waiting for. It's just to get you inside that ring with me. And believe me, Don Morocco, it's going to be. And it's hard to explain, brother. Only the moment's going to tell. The moment we walk in that ring together. Touch each other's body, brother. You're gonna feel the warmness.
To feel the warmness. I'm sorry, I had to play this.
Right, Jimmy. I do feel when it gets too tough for him, it'll be just right for you.
Okay, brother. All right, we go back to the ring. Captain Louis Albano is in the ring.
How about that?
Yes. And this is for the Intercontinental Heavyweight Championship. The Magnificent Morocco, my favorite Intercontinental Champion, taking on Jimmy Superfly Snuka.
Like you said, arguably a rivalry that has shaped a lot of future wrestling superstars.
I agree, Jay. I definitely agree. So, you know, at this point, the feud is at a fever pitch, right? Like a fever pitch. And, you know, Snuka, as popular as he was, obviously if he didn't kill his girlfriend, he would have been world champion, but I digress.
And we are a month and a half, 2 months from that.
From Hulkamania?
No, from.
Oh, from the killing of his wife, of his girlfriend, Nancy Argentina.
Yeah.
You know, the thing was, you had Don Morocco, who was clearly, like, a perfect opponent for him. Mm-hmm. And they were friends in real life, so it made sense. Both of Polynesian descent. And they had color.
Yep.
Right? They drawed it out.
Double juice,
and it was like, the managers got involved, and, like, the talent. Snuka cuts an insane comment promo. I'm not even going to play it because it doesn't, you know, at one point when Jimmy Snuka gets crazy, it doesn't even make any sense. But he was really fucking, really fired up for this. And did we skip the interview with Morocco?
I think we did. Yeah.
Well, I know you got to go soon, but that match was fantastic. It was basically, they had the world title match right after this.
Yeah, well, I mean, because
this is the mid card.
You got to remember too, like a lot of during these house shows, you would know, is they would do the main event before the intermission.
Yes, to announce the other card. So now, your title fight was for the World Wrestling Federation Heavyweight Championship. Golden Boy Arnold Skolin with his protege, Mr. Bob Backlund.
Looking good.
Looking really good against another one of another henchman from the stable of Captain Louis Albano.
Yeah.
The unpredictable, not Johnny Rods, but George the Animal Steele.
You know, there was something really awesome about George Steele as a heel. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Because I haven't really seen too many.
Yeah, this is the only feud, honestly, this is the second feud I've seen him in on watching him. Because he feuded with Bruno.
Yeah.
For a hot minute.
Yeah.
So, yeah, but.
And like I said, to see, I mean, I love these style of matches.
Yeah.
The old school approach, you know.
Yes.
It dragged on a little bit.
Of course.
But I like the idea of, like you said, and that was his thing. He was hiding the foreign object, the international object.
International.
But, I like this match. And it's. You know, there was a lot of fire coming from Backlund at this point, and he loses the belt soon, right?
He loses it to the Sheik.
Yeah.
At the end of the year.
And because even the thing that I was watching, it had to be 79. I gotta find it. I'll send it to you.
Yeah.
Backlund was in that as well. He wrestled. I'm drawing a blank, but I know Hulk Hogan was on the card with
Freddie Blassie.
With Freddie Blassie against Ted DiBiase in 79.
Oh, very young.
Very
Black
young.
Glove DiBiase?
No, not
he
even
didn't
black,
wear a black glove?
Not even black
glove.
This is
glove. Not Mid-South DiBiase?
Nope.
This is a young DiBiase.
But this match was good. I really enjoyed it. It was a little long in the sense of it just kept dragging on. Wasn't really much wrestling, but I mean, what is George Steele going to do? And, you know, even Steele, he bites the turnbuckle, rips it off. But what's missing is the packing peanuts. You know what I mean? Like those the foam
nice.
Popcorn.
Nice.
You know. But what a great gimmick! What a great freaking gimmick that is. And I just a really big fan. And like I said, Bob Backlund. You know how much personality can you get out of him? But
I had probably the smartest man in the locker room.
Yeah.
Played the dumbest character.
But not even that, but even so much. Yeah, right. What was George Steele? He was a teacher, too.
He was a college professor, apparently.
Yeah.
Allegedly. And you know, it's funny because his finishing move was the chicken wing.
Mm-hmm.
Like.
But an impressive one where he would lift them up.
Yeah, so he almost got that on Backlund, but Backlund reversed it. But Backlund loses the match because the ref gets knocked out.
Yeah.
And they think that he used George's foreign object, and you know, this is Mr. Minnesota. This is before Tom Zink, obviously.
Yeah,
this is Mr. Babyface.
Mr.
You know, I'm milking cookies. That's me.
Yeah,
you know. So, of course, referee Dick Kroll calls for the bell, disqualifies Mr. Bob Backlund. And now Backlund seldom loses at this point.
Yeah,
and he's beside himself.
Well, that's kind of good because you could see the long term storytelling. You know that they're going to come back to MSG to follow
next month
him
the
on,
rematch. Yep.
You know, and it's really I love the way that the business is now, but you almost long for these days sometimes
because you know we had stuff to look forward to. Not that we don't now. We
yes.
always do, but. When you were a kid.
It's just so quick.
Yeah, it's
I
quick.
I think that's it.
Yeah, now you wait for it, you know? The next match is the reason why I picked this. It's because two of my favorite wrestlers are in this match. Andre the Giant and
yeah.
Dusty Rhodes. This is a six-man tag team. match. The Wild Samoans are the World Tag Team Champions. They had, they got their younger nephew,
yeah, it's
Samu.
It's, it was
Sam. Well, they, what do you call it? Was it Samo? We, they kept calling him Samoa, but it was, you know, but it was they. This was Samu from the Head Shrinkers, a very young Samu from the Head Shrinkers, Fatu's brother or brother-in-law, whatever the hell he is. They're all related at this point. I'm not being racist.
Yeah.
But they were the World Tag Team Champions. Andre had
Samula,
but they had a beef. So what does Andre do? Andre recruits the best wrestlers, and you know, he recruits Polish power Ivan Putski, who's always down for a fight. But of course, the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, makes his return to the Garden.
And like I said, I mean, and it's funny, you know, when I was watching it, I was like, oh, and then I went back to watch something from the other day. And I was like, that's right, you know. I forget that all the times that it seems like he came in a lot more than he actually did. Like, you always see, you know, it, you always talk about the match with Billy Graham, which was a great fucking
the two
match.
Two or three matches
yeah.
they had.
But like I said, he came back and, you know, I just like the idea of that he's this big star below the Mason-Dixon line, but he still comes up and he still draws. Like, the crowd still reacts.
They know who he is.
From
the magazines.
Yeah.
You know?
And
he was... He didn't win his first championship, right, at this point?
He was a one-time champion already.
79. He beat Harley Race. Uh-huh. Right.
And... But like you said, you could see it, and just what fucking electricity in
the
building.
Yeah.
And just the idea of... You got these three monster baby faces against the dastardly Samoans, and just great storytelling inside the ring. You know, the Samoans, you can't headbutt them, but, you know, meanwhile, Andre's headbutting them. And when Andre headbutts them, he sells it.
Yeah.
He sells it.
He chopped, when he threw a chop, he hit one guy in the fucking head. He even chopped him in the chest.
Yeah.
He threw him against the ropes and chopped him in the head. All right, so they call for the match. The face team wins.
Yeah.
But this is not the end of it.
Yeah.
Because next month they're going to have a fucking 10-man tag. Awesome. Like, 5 out of 8 falls, they said, or something like that. But, and then Andre comes in, he just cleans the clock of, and Putski's like, I'm not even getting involved. All Putski's doing is like, yeah, get him. Like, the crowd is at a fever pitch. The fans are going crazy. And the Samoans was so, Andre was like, kicking him and like, come back, and you know, and Dusty's playing like, listen, man, this is the presence of certain guys. You know what I'm saying? Like, only certain guys got that kind of reaction. And even if Dusty wasn't in the match, Andre was getting that rub.
Oh, without a doubt.
You know what I'm saying?
Without a doubt.
So,
and you would see, and what was kind of cool too, because there's a lot of beef inside the ring. You can truly see how loose the ropes were.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's almost like it's nowhere near what it is now. But like how loose they were, where it's like Andre's getting in, he's pushing the middle rope almost all the way down.
And I love how Gorilla's like, Gorilla said this a million times, but it's like, I hope they reinforce the ring for this one.
Oh, it's like you said, when this is done right.
Right, when it's good, it's good.
This
man.
Is done right.
When it's good, it's good. All right, your next match, Rocky Johnson?
Yeah, Soul Man.
Soul Man Rocky Johnson?
Who recently we just found out has fathered like 7 or 8 kids.
Oh, yeah.
So he's
laid his seat around. Facing Mid-South and Mid-Atlantic competitor Don Canuto, former NWA Tag Team Champion.
Yeah, came out with the...
With the stars and bars
on his
back, which is not a very good look for him up in Northeast.
Yeah, which is not, you know, feel like he stole that from my man Michael Purely Sexy Hayes.
Or Dick Slater, if you want to go that route.
Yeah.
If we showcased Don Kernertle and Sergeant Slaughter against Ricky Steamboat and Jay Youngblood.
Yes.
The final conflict. We actually, Turnbuckle Throwback, the first year or two, we did the whole entire feud. So you can go back and listen to that. That's pretty good. That's a pretty good listen. But, you know, these two guys can work. It was a nice little match. You know, wasn't
Yeah, Rocky Johnson. I mean, incredible shape.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Canerdo can wrestle.
Yeah.
Like, he's a wrestler. Like, he's a guy who has a background in amateur wrestling. His matches are really paced well. Very good wrestler. This match was okay. Rocky wins the match, I believe. Let me see here. Yeah.
And I like the way that these matches end, too, whereas, like, it's not like the babyface stole the victory. He just got one over, like, and, like, the heel pops up, goes, and he's fighting.
Yeah.
He's like, wait, no, ref, that was only two. And, like, Howard Finkel runs into the ring, right? And like that, it feels like a sport. You know what I mean?
You want to play it? I have it queued up.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Like, he's in the ring and...
Rodney Johnson victorious from Madison Square Garden. You're watching World Wrestling Federation Championship Wrestling.
Yeah.
I love it. Oh.
Yeah.
Well, we're back here in the garden, folks, and let's go up to our ring announcer, Howard Finkel.
You know what I like, too? Like, the opening sequence, too, like, where it showed a bunch of different sports from the MSG Network and, like, old, you know, WWF stuff. Like, it just instantly sets the mood, and it's just like, okay, yeah, we're going to be in for something good. And this whole card was really, really good.
So Fink's going to announce the next the continuing matches for the – let's play real quick, if you don't mind.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time to announce the next all-star card of World Wrestling Federation.
My favorite time of the night when I was a kid. Uncle would run and get tickets right after he didn't announce it.
4 weeks time. Four weeks from tonight on Saturday, August 27th, beginning at 8 p.m.
We should find this card.
I want to alert you that tickets will go on sale
right now.
This Monday morning.
Oh, Monday morning.
At the Garden Box Office.
A little later on in life, you were able to go to the box office and get them that night.
In the metropolitan area. Here is the lineup for August 27th. Butcher LaShawn. Opposes Salvatore Bellomo.
Eight people clap.
Iron Mike Sharp has signed to face Swede Hansen.
Swede Hansen, another fucking famous. Oh, he played Bane
regardless
in the Batman
of the
movie.
Outcome of the bout that will follow shortly.
Rest
Mr.
in peace.
Fuji will with Chief Jay Strong.
Yeah.
Returning to the Garden will be the popular Tony. His opponent makes his first appearance in this ring, Korean Tiger Chung
Wow,
Lee.
The debut of Tiger Chung Lee, who becomes a jobber.
On August 27th, the Intercontinental title will be on the line, defended by the magnificent Morocco, and his opponent will be Superfly Jimmy Snuka.
Look at that crowd.
Yeah, seriously.
And the main event, August 27th.
This
Madison
is the best.
Square Garden.
This is the best, Jay.
The World Wrestling Federation heavyweight champion, Bob Backlund.
Yep.
Faces in a return bout the animal, George Steele.
Gotta get his revenge.
Yeah, I love it.
In addition, for the first time in Madison Square Garden wrestling history, an unprecedented event. Three out of five falls.
Three out of five.
The winner of an eight-man tag team match.
Sick.
And Andre the Giant.
What a pop.
Dude. This is precursor Survivor Series. This is Pat Patterson feeling himself right now.
Holy mackerel, what a fantastic card.
All right, so your next match is the Samurai Warrior, Mr. Fuji.
Yes.
Taking on newcomer Tito Santana. Fuji could still go, man.
Well, he was, yeah, that's right, because he wasn't IC champ yet.
No. And this is Fuji in between tag team partners. So yes. Fuji was the world tag team champion with Masa Saito.
Yes.
But Saito was gone at this point. He went back to New Japan, if I'm not mistaken. I could be wrong on that. But I know he's gone from the company. And he actually recruits Tiger Chung after the debut. So Fuji was primarily in this territory.
I don't want to say jobber. But
no, he was a mid-carder at best.
Yeah.
You know. But, yeah, it's a good match, man.
And like I said, it goes 5-6 minutes.
Yep.
Tito wins with the flying cross body.
Yeah, but Fuji doesn't care.
Yeah, Fuji
fucking
don't care.
Jacks him anyway.
And like I said, and that's like the other side of it too, where it's like He just doesn't take a powder out, rolls out of the ring, and that's it. Like, he gets out, he goes, oh, I can't believe I fucked. He goes, fuck this guy. And he goes,
not only that, the best part is Fuji, before he had Yokozuna, would do the ceremonial salt, yeah. Right? The best is Gorilla Monsoon says, here's Fuji again with the ritual, salt ritual. I wonder if that salt is iodized or not. I was like, who else says shit like that? Yeah. You know what I'm saying? So
it's like I said, this was a breath of fresh air to watch.
Yeah, I just got into a rabbit hole of watching old WWF. As you can see, my YouTube is algorithm.
I gotta find it. It's definitely on my Peacock. I'll send it to you.
The cock.
It's on the CAC.
The CAC.
I'll send to you what I was watching. And like I said, I think it's Dusty against Holly Race. I think it's 79.
It might be on a Dusty's Greatest Hits CD, DVD that I have.
Oh, it might. It probably
I have to look
is.
For that. It probably is. How many Dusty Rhodes matches I've seen? Christ. I want to get the Dusty Rhodes in Japan compilation from my IVP. Anyway. But yeah, that's my rabbit hole find of the week. I hope you guys enjoyed that. I'll post the link up probably. But yeah, but all the other good shit.
Yeah, WWE Old School Season 8, Episode 1.
Okay, I'll definitely watch it today. I'll watch it a little while there. Hold on a second. All right. Thank you.
Muted.
Yep. Sorry about that. Anyway.
December 17th, 1979.
Fantastic.
Oh, it was so good. It was so good. Like I said, I can't wait to watch the Dusty match.
Yes. You like this hat? Sure do. Where's my Dusty? Where is it? Let me just play it up before we get out of here. Nope. Jezebel, no. What the hell is it?
Right now we're watching the Samoans against Dick Murdoch and Adrian Adonis. Blackhead.
This is
Adonis.
This is
svelte looking Adrian Adonis.
This was a good
2 out of 3 falls.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Dick Murdoch is I mean whatever he did in his personal life is neither here nor there. Inside the ring, man, that guy's a bumping selling machine.
Oh yeah.
Oh, it was so good.
I think I took it off. I wonder why I took this off. Oh, you know what yesterday was? Also, the debut of the Macho Man Randy Savage.
Oh.
In WWF.
Really?
No es Tito Santana. No es Ricky Steamboat. No es nobody here. Nunca here.
It's true. True.
Spanish-speaking fans.
Yeah. Anyway, you ready to get out of here?
Let's get out of here, pal.
Let's get out of here, pal. All right, so you guys know all the social media handles. Anchor.fm/TomokoThrowbacks, TomokoThrowbacks.com, ProWrestlingTees.com. We sold a shirt. Thank you, Carlos. From Jersey. That's Choppy's boy. Bought a shirt. Thank you very much. And that's pretty much it, man. We'll be back next week. Same bat time, same bat channel, probably.
Yep.
And you know how it goes. Stay out of trouble, man. Be a good fucking human. Humans being humans. Be human. Be nice. Don't be a jerk off. All right? I love you guys. We love you. Say goodnight, Gracie.
Goodnight, Gracie.